Did you know that right here in Sheridan and Johnson counties, manufacturers build life-protecting equipment for American soldiers, create vacuum systems for car washes across the country, and build products for NASA? See it all for yourself as the Chamber and Manufacturing Works celebrate Manufacturing Month in October with free public tours of local manufacturers. For the complete schedule of tours, visit SheridanWyomingChamber.org.
Hi, I'm Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty, inviting you to take a look at this beautifully maintained 4-bedroom, 2-bath home featuring AC, a newer roof, and hot water heater. The inviting kitchen offers an island, abundant storage, and a walk-in pantry. A convenient main-level laundry allows for easy single-level living. Ideally situated at 1430 Omar near Mavrakis Pond and the walking path. List price is just $385. To take a look at this property, contact me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964.
Hi, this is Kayla Carr with Sheridan Honda, where our customers are our number one priority. I'm excited to tell you about Coffee with Kayla, which is held every second Friday of the month. You're invited to ask questions about your vehicle, learn the importance of vehicle maintenance, and give your feedback and recommendations. Discover how to receive exclusive discounts on maintenance and repairs with our brand new customer loyalty program. Join me for Coffee with Kayla every second Friday of the month from 7:30 to 8:30 at Sheridan Honda.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, October 15th, from Wyoming's Emerald City. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. Joining us this morning, Sheridan Police Department Chief Travis Koltiska and Captain Tom Ringley. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Thanks for having us again, Floyd.
Cold, cold morning, and they're just going to get colder from here, Chief.
Shh, we don't want to hear it. Hey, fall's in the air. Love fall. It's my favorite season. And like we were talking earlier, I live in Wyoming because I like seasons. Mm-hmm. So I know what's coming.
It's time to bust out the scarves. How have things been down at the department?
Good. Things have been busy. You know, school's been in session for a couple months now almost. Well, yeah, been a couple months, and things have gone well there. Overall, things are going well. Still seeing a lot of traffic downtown, you know. Mm-hmm. Even our traditional tourist season is over, but there's still been quite busy downtown, which is good. We're happy to see that, and things are going well.
Do we end up having, and maybe you know this, maybe you don't, do we end up having kind of like a influx during the fall season of hunters around this area, or is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a destination for recreation and outdoors and the hunting, and so I'm not sure the volume of it, and you know, some of these recent issues with CWD and the winters we've had have probably impacted that to a degree. But I was just driving back and forth to work and seeing hunters that were obviously hunters at the hotels. So it looks like been a good influx coming in.
A lot of plates from the Great Lakes states, seems like.
Wow,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota.
Here?
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible.
Been a big time destination.
I think they follow opening days.
Yeah.
Back east, because ours, I think, is earlier than.
It is earlier than back east.
Yeah.
A lot of the back east states don't even start hunting until November, December.
Oh, wow. That is super late.
Yeah. Except for maybe archery. But, you know, with us opening in October. So it gives them an opportunity to hunt here and back home.
You know, it's kind of a kindred spirits, us and the Great Lakes. They've just got kind of a different type of outdoor setting, you know?
Yes.
Much better suited for duck hunting and some great fishing out there. October 19th through the 25th. National Teen Driving Safety Week. This is an annual event, takes place in the third week of October, dedicated to raising awareness around those risks of teen driving and promoting safe driving habits. Chief, why is National Teen Driving Safety Week such an important observation for the SPD?
It's really in a time that we can highlight the need to set habits early in a person's driving career, and it's an opportunity for have the conversation. We like to have it all the time, but it's just another highlight of that time. At that driving age, it's really the stage in a person's life where you develop those long-term safe driving habits. You know, when I was growing up and all of us were growing up, seatbelts weren't a habit. Yeah. Now I can't get into a vehicle without putting my seatbelt on. And my kids won't let the vehicle move without putting a seatbelt on. So we've established that's one habit over time, stressing the importance of seatbelts, that we've been able to do that. And so making sure that when you have a young driver that's just starting off driving, you reinforce all those habits that are important to keep them safe behind that vehicle and help them understand the responsibilities that come with having that license to drive, which I will remind everybody is a privilege and not a right. You know, this is when we stress the importance of, and the biggest influence, you know, being parents, of having that conversation, talking about, hey, this is national, you know, teen driving safety week. Let's use every bit of extra caution we can when we're behind that wheel of that vehicle.
And we take so many different things for granted as we get older, and we've developed these types of habits, jumping in the car, throwing the seatbelt on, checking your mirrors, and it's all done almost second nature.
Yeah.
For us, we have to try and remember it's not second nature for the kids yet.
Right. And especially when they're actually behind the wheel. You know, some of the things you talked about, I think the seatbelts are more of a habit now, because even when they're passengers in vehicles, you're stressing the importance of the seatbelt as a parent. But it's checking those mirrors before you start moving a bit, checking your surroundings, talking about the distractions that come with interior of a vehicle. You know, there's a lot of things just like that you can have those discussions with your kids about driving and about being safe behind that wheel.
Now, you know, you guys have been on the force for many, many years. Have you seen examples of how early driving experiences influence behavior behind the wheel later on in life? Stopping somebody and having them look at you and say, look, I've never wore a seatbelt. I don't have to start today.
No. Even in the last 20 years, I think that 25 years or so that we can attest to, that people have been wearing seatbelts mainly because it's annoying dingers that achieve their purpose, and
yeah,
people wear them. But you know, I think these days there are just more challenges to new drivers. And this from the advent of all the new technology that have crept into vehicles. I mean, back in our day, you know, maybe changing out a cassette tape.
Yeah,
or a CD, but now
people don't know what cassette tapes are.
Yeah, but it's cell phones and the dash displays.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot more distractions in vehicles. And so I think it's more challenging for young people to develop those safe habits now than it was when we were learning to drive.
Because they've got habits as soon as that phone pings. Well, I got to answer that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's the bell for dinner right there.
They
just go right to it.
Pavlov's dog, right?
Yep, exactly. And so we got to break habits.
Yeah. And it's just not new drivers. We see old adults looking down, scrolling, which is frustrating when you drive an unmarked vehicle.
yeah.
But, you know, it's just the constant reinforcement. You know, it's the theory of 10,000 repetitions to get really good at a task, you have to perform it multiple times. And parents just need to, every time their new driver leaves the drive, just remind them, wear your seatbelt. Don't look at your phones. Don't be distracted. Two hands on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to the person in the back seat by looking over your shoulder.
And what people forget, you can use that technology to your advantage. I mean, there are applications on phones where you can say, you can put it in driving mode and it will not notify the driver of an incoming text or any of those kind of things. I've sent text messages to my kids where I get the response, so-and-so is driving right now and cannot respond.
Oh, fantastic.
So, you know, those are all parts of that conversation. Like, technology is great when it's used appropriately, but it is a big time. It can be a big time distraction, but also use it to your advantage when you can.
I think that's a great idea, because I think the majority of the time, a lot of individuals are worried that, well, they're going to think I'm mad at them or something, that I'm not instantly texting back. If they got an instant text that they didn't have to say or send that said, I'm driving,
yep,
I'll get back to you, then that's already all solved.
Yes.
And that's removed. Now, is distracted driving really the most common risk factor that you're seeing? When it comes to accidents involving teen drivers?
I think with drivers in general, almost every crash is distracted by some type, unless it's caused by a distraction of some type, unless it's a willful, reckless or careless driving. But if you're making a, say, traveling east on Brundage Lane and you're turning left on Coffeen and you turn in front of a car, then you're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's kind of the, one of the definitions of careless driving is inattentive driving, or all the unsafe backings crashes we have in parking lots. It's just people not paying attention.
Yeah.
Because, and why do we not pay attention? It's because we're distracted. Even if we're in our distraction is that we're in a hurry. It's still just distracted driving.
I've investigated a couple accidents where I was actually investigating one accident and heard brakes, tires screeching on pavement as somebody caused another accident right next to where I was investigating this one because they were watching me outside the mm-hmm. vehicle. So distractions don't always occur only inside the vehicle or oftentimes inside. Matter of fact, if you ask my wife, I get distracted in Yellowstone National Park really easy and scare her really well looking around, right? So distractions happen inside and out. And like the captain said, is you really have to be attentive to the roadway and your immediate surroundings. That's the most important thing to remember when you're traveling down the road.
And, you know, I call them the looky-loos and the rubberneckers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'll admit, I'm. It's really difficult not to do that, especially as a reporter. I caught myself doing it with the road construction in Buffalo the other day. I almost kind of sent a wheel off of part of that road that was cut just because I was curious, how far along are they? What are they doing over there? How is that happening? And then all of a sudden I realized, you know, pay attention to the road. You're on it, buddy. Now, how can parents best address issues like speeding, distractions, or even peer pressure when they sit the kids down?
Well, I mean, it's a parenting issue, but it comes down with accountability. And when there are issues that these sort of things, whether it's speeding citations or, you know, accidents, you know, what's that accountability measure on your teen driver, right? There's got to be some sort of accountability and starts with a discussion, starts with establishing that good behavior to begin with. But if there is a mistake, you know, let's make sure we do take corrective action to address it. You know, a lot of people ask, you know, the purpose of citations or warnings in traffic enforcement. They're not to punish. There's a fine associated with them. There's other ramifications that can come with it, whether it's the loss of your driving privilege, depending on the severity of the situation. But the true purpose of any kind of traffic enforcement is to change driving behavior. It's to ensure that that driver who's going down Coffeen Avenue that knows the speed limit is 30 says, if I don't drive 30 or close to thereof and I get pulled over, this could cost me money. Mm-hmm. And so that makes them think I'm going to drive 30 so I don't potentially get a speeding ticket.
It's supposed to be more of a preventative
measure. It is 100% preventative. It act as a deterrent to poor behavior, poor driving behavior. And so that's the same with parents, you know, I'm helping them understand there are consequences for poor driving. The worst case, which we've unfortunately experienced multiple times in this community, is, you know, loss of life.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not when the lesson should be learned. It should be learned much prior to that.
Do you think in some regard, we almost look at driving as a trivial thing because we all do it so much every day. We take for granted that we're moving this multi-ton object through space at sometimes very high rates of speed. Do you think we just don't appreciate what we're actually doing anymore?
There might be some degree of that. I mean, even look at the number of vehicles per household. Now,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Back when I was young, we had two vehicles, and when I was 16, I might get the bar of the car.
Yeah.
On a Friday or Saturday night or something. But now, this driving around town, you can see it's almost one vehicle per licensed driver, in a household. So it's just a combination of things. It's just more vehicles on the road. It's especially in Wyoming where things are distant, where you kind of need cars. That's why we have a very good hardship license program. It's just the distances and the amount of vehicles out there. It seems like traffic anecdotally is heavier on Coffeen than it was when we started.
Yeah.
And also, you know, learning to drive is an ongoing process. This isn't a one-time talk.
Yeah.
And then you're done. It should be ongoing and evolving talk, and parents should know where their kids are going and what they're doing. I mean, as we're coming in the winter, parents need to discuss how to drive in the winter with their young drivers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially in the winter, because everything, all the rules of physics kind of change once that ice hits the road. You are not going to be able to stop on a dime. You're going to have to kind of adjust as the tail end of your car will sometimes, almost no matter the speed that you're doing, kind of swing around. You got to be able to react to that. That was a big issue for me when I was having these conversations with my daughter, because nobody had that conversation with me. That was a trial and error thing when I was a kid. How do I fix the swinging tail?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and eventually you develop the experience that comes with that. I didn't get a proper driving course or any kind of mentorship until I joined the Army. And boy, howdy, I got a great instructor then. Who taught me things that I still apply to this day. And that was for a big vehicle, and now I'm driving my little one. Now, you guys actually have something that I did want to touch on before I take a break, and that is the traffic safety course or class that you guys have had. How do they sign up or learn more about that? And we will talk about this a little bit more in our next segment, but how does a parent get their child involved?
So it's easy as calling the police department at the 672-2413 and saying, I would like to sign up my kid. I'd like to sign up myself, maybe attend with my kid. That's also great. We encourage that. Sign up for the class, and we will provide a schedule. It's done almost monthly. And we can talk more about it after the break. But it's very, very simple to do. And it's free to anyone who wants to attend.
I really like that idea, doing it together. All right, I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Police Department when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Put on your Sunday clothes, there's lots of world out there.
Well, hello, Sheridan. Dolly Levi here, matchmaker, hat shop habitue, and now premier party planner. Canapes and specialty cocktails await at the 2025 YO premiere of Hello Dolly, Saturday, October 18th. I can't wait to see the gowns, hats, and splendid get-ups our guests will wear for the occasion.
Cocktails and costumes? Sounds extravagant.
Oh, Horace, don't be such a penny pincher. The music sparkles, the dancing delights, and the hats. Well, I approve of every single one. It's the perfect night out.
And if you can't make the premiere, encore performances run October 19th and October 23rd through 26th.
Well, maybe I'll let Dolly arrange one more thing. My seat.
Reserve your tickets today at yotheater.com. Hello, Dolly opens October 18th with performances through October 26th. Sheridan, come dressed to impress. Dolly's watching.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it and we'll stand behind it after the sale because we live here, we work here, and we raise our families here. Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Show your support for local veterans with Operation Greenlight. November 4th through 11th, shine a green bulb in your home or business to honor those who've served. Pick up your bulb at Sheridan Commercial by exchanging a non-perishable food or personal item. Donations go directly to veterans in our community. Join your neighbors in letting our veterans know they are appreciated and not forgotten. For more information and a list of requested donations, call 675-4202 or visit Sheridan Operation Greenlight on Facebook.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan Police Department Chief Travis Koltiska and Captain Tom Ringley. And we're talking about National Teen Driving Safety Week. This year, it's going to be observed October 19th through the 25th. This is an annual event in the third week of October that's dedicated to raising awareness about the risks of teen driving and promoting safe driving habits. Now, before the break, we were talking about the SPD traffic safety class. Captain, what types of drivers tend to benefit most from this course?
I think all drivers can benefit from it. But the two demographics, for lack of a better term, are the young, new teen drivers. And also, it's a resource for circuit municipal courts. If people have a citation that the court may find it more appropriate to have them attend our traffic classes rather than impose a huge fine.
Yeah.
So it's every, but anyone's welcome.
Yeah. So anyone could just sign up, head down there. And here's the deal. You think you know everything till you're sitting in a class.
Yeah. And it's taught in 1 week, four 2 hour sessions. It's been a great success. Last year we had 33, people attend, but even yesterday I walked by one of the classes and there were seven people in it. Mm. We're in a new fiscal year now, so I won't count those. Our goal is to teach one class a month for 10 out of the 12 months. We tend to take July off just because we're busy with summer festivities and usually January or so that we won't teach it. But if we have enough requests, then we can certainly put one on in those months as well.
You know, it'd be great even if there was like a group of parents who got their kids together and decided, you know what, let's all do this together. And you could even make it like a bonding activity or something like that. But the whole time ensuring, hey, you know this stuff now. Like, you should be applying it out on the road.
And it covers a lot of aspects of driving in general, not, you know, even peer pressure issues.
Yeah.
What happens if you do get pulled over? Nobody ever knows that.
Right? Yeah.
If the red, blue lights do approach, whether it's a police, a fire, EMS, whatever. So there's a lot of things that it covers outside of just, hey, be responsible, pay attention, observe signs and controls. It covers kind of the whole gamut of things. It's a great course. It's well designed. And I think people really find some benefit out of it.
And Chief, it's free.
It's free. Yeah.
It's completely free.
Yeah. We have different officers within the department to teach it. Their time is paid for with grant funds through through YDOT, through Highway Safety Grant, which, you know, the whole purpose of these grants are to establish both education and enforcement of traffic laws to ensure safe driving, right? Try to limit the number of fatalities that are out there on the roadways.
Yeah.
And so everything we can do to facilitate safe driving in the community, because those tragic accidents strike home really hard.
Yeah,
and
they change a community.
They absolutely do. And so I've unfortunately, encountered several of them, and it's not a good thing for anybody involved.
What does a typical session look like? Do you have like curriculum outlines and things like that?
Yeah, this is actually the brainchild of Lieutenant Danny Keller years ago. He developed it. And we've got the funding resources, and it's very informal, and it's taught by either Jim Maynard or Aaron Hartman, two very engaging officers that we have, and it's very structured. It's based on PowerPoint, but they certainly can veer off and answer questions and discuss certain scenarios. You know, every once in a while we get an older guy that thinks he shouldn't have to be there.
Yeah.
But the court made him go there, and they tend to, I think by the end of the four sessions, they've got a little bit more buy-in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those situations I'm forced to be here, but
It's not the classic traffic attention school, like, you know, you see in all the old crummy police movies, to police comedies.
And no, we're not out there teaching you how to pit vehicles. Yeah, and then we're not letting you drive a police car. You know, it's all classroom. It's all scenario based. There's scenarios, there's discussion, and we encourage open discussion, but the, you know, there's the structured content as well to deliver, you know, the information that we feels important for individuals to operate vehicles safely.
Captain, one more time, where can parents go to learn more about this?
Just call 672-2413 and ask for either Officer Hartman or Officer Maynard.
You know, a fantastic opportunity, folks. If anything, you know, send maybe you and the kid head to it. You attend together. It'll give you some peace of mind knowing that they've got some good fundamentals that they can build off of. Switching gears on you here real quick. We're running out of time. With Halloween night just around the corner, what safety reminders would you like parents and kids to remember the most?
Well, this year it's on a Friday. So we would ask everyone to be cognizant of the children trick-or-treating. That includes people going to bars. And generally the community does a fantastic job keeping an eye out for the trick-or-treaters. But as a parent, you know, once again, know what your kids are doing, know where they're going, make sure they go to well-lit areas, make sure their costumes are safe, that they have some type of light reflection material on them. And also, be reachable for your kids. If you're not going with them, then make sure they have a means to reach you via cell phone, and also that you're available to go get them. So maybe put off any other activities and just make sure the kids are safe. It's usually only a 2 or 3 hour thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, and you know, Friday night, maybe people can be a bit more relaxed. They don't have to get up for work the next day or get the kids ready for school. So it should be fun. And also crossing streets, got to be super careful. Make sure the kids aren't dashing out between cars. Have them cross at intersections and crosswalks only. A flashlight or a chem light is fantastic for visibility.
And fun.
Yeah.
Kids have fun with that.
And if you're driving kids from area to area, have them get out on the curbside. Don't let them get out into the street.
A great piece of advice right there. If parents still wanted to do the old check the candy, any advice on that real quick, Chief?
Well, I mean, obviously, most of, I think there's a lot of safety checks in place now, and parents are still used to doing that, but you're talking like maybe homemade type treats might be something worth extra inspections, and it just really depends on, you know, we're in Sheridan, most of us trick-or-treat in our own neighborhoods or families, and so I think there's less concern with that than there once was, but it's still something, you know, worth checking, making sure that any packages of candy don't look like they've been resealed. Right. And if it comes in a sealed container that it was packaged in at the factory, it's probably in a safe condition.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for taking time and coming in here and talking with me. It's one of the high points of my week when I get to see you guys and we get to laugh together. I greatly appreciate it.
You're one of the only ones that feels that way when they see the police.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's actually probably true. All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the City of Buffalo City Clerk Treasurer, Julie Silbernagel. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Have you ever considered a gift certificate to Eye Care of the Bighorns for someone who has vision correction? Many companies don't provide eye insurance, which makes the burden of annual eye exams and glasses or contact lenses an out-of-pocket expense. Eye Care of the Bighorns also carries your favorite sunglasses and athletic eye protection from names you love, like Maui Jim, Costa, and more. Stop by Eye Care of the Bighorns or call 307-674-0444 today.
Tired of paying rent to your landlord every month? At 751 Avoca, you have the chance to own and customize 4,000 square feet of flexible office space. With four separate entrances, you can even lease out part of the building and become the landlord yourself. This property is ADA compliant with high-tech systems. There's ample off-street parking and room to expand, just one block off Coffeen. It's the perfect location for medical, dental, therapy, or professional offices. Call Amity Allman with 307 Real Estate at 307-683-6673 or on the web at AmityAllmanHomes.com.
Mandy Kolciska from Century 21 BHJ Realty brings you this pet of the week from the dog and cat shelter. One-year-old Romeo is a border collie shepherd full of energy and filled with love. He's picky around other dogs but may get along with a feline friend. Celeste is a two-year-old kitty who is the perfect mouser. She loves to play, just not with other cats or dogs. Your new pal is waiting for you at the dog and cat shelter.
Legends say the opal holds lightning trapped within its heart, a stone of mystery, once feared but long cherished for its beauty and magic, especially for those with October birthdays. This October, celebrate your own legend with glowing fire opals or shimmering white opals in timeless designs crafted to enchant. Dare to wear the magic of opal from Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main and online at LegacyDiamondGems.com, where every piece tells a story.
Doug, is your service shop haunted?
Nope. That's just the sound of folks screaming with joy over our tire sale.
Oh, yeah. Buy three tires, get the fourth for a dollar.
A single dollar. That's scarier than my mother-in-law's meatloaf.
And a lot safer.
Don't get caught driving on bald tires this Halloween. Swing into Wearing Chevrolet.
Buy three, get one for a buck. No tricks, just treats. Wearing Chevrolet online at WearingSheridan.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we're joined by the City of Buffalo Clerk Treasurer, Julie Silbernagel. Good morning. Welcome back.
Thanks, Floyd. It's great to be here.
Now, how are things going on over there in Buffalo? Still a little chilly?
It's chilly, but, you know, our Main Street is open back up. We're looking pretty spiffy here in Buffalo with all of the construction that's gone on. It's been a journey, and we're all just now on the other side of this construction project finishing things up, but we look pretty good over here.
That's fantastic to hear. You know, I kind of go the other way to head to work each day, so I'm watching the construction over my shoulder as I leave, but those guys seem to have kind of got that done pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it started actually a year ago with some of the outer areas, not in the downtown area. And then this year, they redid all of their construction by, let's see, it would have been by Memorial Day. And then they've spent the rest of the summer from Memorial Day on from Fort Street heading north to Hart Street.
Kind of giving you the summer season to get people downtown. That's really good of them. And, you know, something else that's going on downtown, something I've talked to the mayor before, and I've seen it, the city council approached, and that is taking a closer look at the rules for skateboards, bicycles, scooters, and e-bikes on sidewalks downtown. What prompted this, Julie?
It truly was citizen concerns. It's that feeling of, I didn't even see that bike coming, or I didn't see that skateboard or that bicycle or scooter. Nobody likes that feeling of a near miss, and we did have some citizens calling City Hall, but also they came to the City Council and said, you know, we've got to do something. The problem is, how do you regulate this? It's not a motorized vehicle as far as, you know, the e-bikes especially, but your bicycles are not motorized. E-bikes, you know, there's different levels of these that they're under power, you know, somewhat. So we just had to go back and look at our ordinances, and none of these are allowed on the city sidewalks throughout the city. I mean, so you can ride them anywhere in town, and they are very popular among the kids. They're also really becoming popular with our senior citizens. But we do have to remember that there are rules of the road, and we need to educate, especially our youth, on what those rules are, not darting in and out among traffic, jumping on the sidewalks, jumping off just to avoid, you know, you can get there faster and go around things, but there are rules that we need to follow.
Absolutely. Now, when it comes to kind of learning that information, if a parent is listening right now and they know that their little one's going to come home and jump on their e-bike or maybe even ride their e-bike home from school, and they'd like to know these rules, Julie, where can they go to kind of learn this so that they could tell it to either their parent or their child?
Yeah, I think our police department, and they're teaming up with the schools a little bit to talk to our youth and even, you know, our seniors about where you can ride e-bikes or your bicycle or your, you know, skateboard, and then also just traffic rules, stopping at stop signs and riding to the, you know, on the side of the road, just regular safety things. And I would encourage them, they can come talk to City Hall, and they can also talk to our police department for some of these things.
Really friendly guys down there too. I've had many conversations with them, and the chief has always been happy to take time with folks and kind of, you know, let them know what the law is in a very friendly manner. Switching gears on you, speaking of downtown, what can families look forward to during this year's Monster March over there in Buffalo?
Fun and candy, of course.
Fun and candy, two things that go hand in hand.
Yeah, this event will be held October 31st on Halloween, and it's from 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock. We shut down the main street from 4th Street to Angus Street, and the kids start at the courthouse, walk down one side of the street, and all the merchants are handing out candy, and then they turn around and walk back the other side of the street. This is an event that's organized by the Chamber of Commerce. I would encourage, if you want to be part of it, I would encourage businesses, families, whatever, to get a hold of the Chamber and just find out kind of what they have in store for this event this year. It changes a little bit every year. We've had flash mobs. I'm not part of the organization of this, but it's really fun to look at. I get a front row seat being down here on the main street. I can just watch out the windows of City Hall, and the costumes are incredible. They put a lot of effort into this.
They really do. And yeah, I can remember, you know, some of those flash mobs. A lot of them, I think, were like high school kids or dance companies, and you don't know what's happening. And then all of a sudden, the street's full of people in costume dancing, and it's just a fantastic event to see. Julie, have you seen this really grow with the city over the years? I mean, has the attendance really increased, I'd say, within, what, the past decade?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There are times, and what's amazing to me is that the weather doesn't stop. If we have a bad weather day, it doesn't stop them from attending. It probably increases it because then they don't have to go out that night and go trick-or-treating. You know, they get plenty of candy during this event. But I know there's some years we have given out probably 750 pieces of candy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, when it comes to throwing your costume on, I've seen a lot of families go down all done up together. I mean, this is really a fantastic family event. Yeah, I mean, I think originally it was organized to kind of do some safety things with the kids, but now it's the whole community gets involved.
Yeah, that is fun when you see a theme, like a family come through with a theme. It's just like, that was creative. And they bring their pets, whatever, they're all dressed up.
It's amazing. Used to be one of my favorite events to cover when I was over there. Now, if there is a business that isn't on Main Street, but they do want to take part in this, I've seen some years they had tables out there. All they need to do is contact the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce.
Correct. And, you know, we've seen tables out on the bridge, the Main Street Bridge. You're welcome to, if there's still room, you can stand out with us in front of City Hall, by the bell. I think, you know, at different times we've had different businesses down here with that. So everybody can participate.
The more candy, the better, folks. I'm going to switch gears on you again, Julie. This time we're going to be looking at something a little more grown up. The process for contractor license renewals. What changes are being considered?
Okay, so contractor licenses in Buffalo, they renew every year in January, and it's for the whole year. And we haven't really changed our requirements probably 15 or 20 years. So we started looking at what other communities are doing and even talking with insurance companies about what some of the industry standards are. So now we have gone to the license is $200 across the board, whatever license you're getting. It used to be different fees. There were some as low as $50. It's $200, and that's really in line with what other communities are doing.
Just a flat rate.
Yes. And then it also we've also required some general contractor liability insurance and a license and permit bond, but those amounts, again, based on industry standards, the insurance has been raised to $2 million aggregate and $1 million per occurrence for the general liability insurance, and then the license and permit bond increased from a $5,000 bond to a $10,000 bond.
Has anyone come forward and maybe made comment or brought up any issues from the contractor industry over there in Buffalo regarding these changes?
Oh, boy, you'd have to talk to our building inspector who issues those. He seems to be able to explain, you know, the reasons for it and all of that. But I haven't personally heard any real complaints.
Now, the goal behind this is literally just kind of updating things for the city, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Now, another big change that happened over there, changes to the city's water rate structure.
Yeah, so the council looked at our, first of all, when we go down to Cheyenne looking for grant funding or loan funding for any of our projects, one of the rating factors, you know, that they look at is, have you looked at your water rates? How long has it been since you increased them? So we did a study of what other communities, again, in Wyoming are doing, and we found that for our base rate in the water of $39.75, we used to allow 10,000 gallons, and we have changed that to 5,000 gallons. That is probably a little generous, still, compared to other communities. I know some are, you pay a base rate and then you pay to play. Every 1,000 gallons of water you use, there's a fee on that. And then others, you know, they maybe give you 3,000 gallons. So we drop from 10 to 5. And then as you go over those 5,000 gallons, we have another level in there that it's $1.50 per 1,000. So that would be $7.50 if you used another 5,000 gallons. And then after that, it's $2.20 per 1,000. So it really puts the consumer in the driver's seat. You know, you start thinking about how much water you're using. How often do I have that sprinkler system run? Our ordinance says that it can be every other day. So if your house ends with an even number, you water on the even days of the month. And if your house ends with the odd number, you water on the odd days of every month. Sometimes you can set that to be every third day or every fourth day, depending on, you know, how green you want your grass. But it also makes us mindful of how much water are we using.
Another thing it actually does is reminds people that that leaking toilet needs to be fixed, because that's something that I've learned. How much water gets lost on a leaky toilet would absolutely blow your mind.
It is amazing, and I think people just get used to hearing that sound, and they don't even realize, you know, that that toilet is just running, and it's really going down the drain. I'm paying for water that's just circulating there and going right down the drain. So being mindful of that, then you get a water bill that you're like, where is this water going?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sink drips, or oh, that toilet is constantly running.
And it looks so small.
Yeah. Yep.
And like you said, you know, you kind of remove it from your mind, and then all of a sudden that bill shows up, and you start looking for leaks. it's a good motivator. Now, when it comes to public comment regarding this, has there been any pushback, or are people pretty much understanding, hey, this is the way it is?
You know, I've had people, you know, calling me, and I'm happy to explain it, do a history of your bill, whatever. We've had quite a few people come into City Hall or call us, you know, and want to talk through it. Yeah, it hurts to pay more if you are a high consumer of water. But once we've explained it, people have been, and that's what's great about our community, is once you have that conversation with them, they may not like it, but at least, you know, they've gotten their questions answered, and I'm happy to talk with anybody about their water bill and maybe help find some remedies for if they do have water, you know, that they don't realize that they're using.
Yeah.
We also have another, our billing system is linked to this WaterScope program, so customers can, if they get a couple numbers from us, like their customer number and their meter number, they can log into this and they can see their own account and they can track it every day. So it's a pretty good program.
That way, if they're really trying to nail down where the heck's all this water going, they can really find it.
Yeah.
All right, Julie, switching gears on you. Can you tell us a little bit more about openings for the city? If you want to work for Buffalo, mechanic,
yeah,
planner, and a building inspector.
Yeah, it seems like we just have quite a few open right now that we're looking to fill. The mechanic position is located at the city shop, and that takes care of a broad spectrum of equipment, you know, heavy equipment trucks, the fleet vehicles, you know, garbage trucks, dump trucks, all of that, the street sweeper. These are all full-time positions, and they get the city benefit package. And then the planner and the building inspector are located at City Hall. And our planner position has been open for a while now, and we're looking to fill that. And then our building inspector, unfortunately, has decided to go someplace warmer for us. So we're losing our building inspector.
A lot of great positions over there. Fantastic place to work for, get the benefits, and a great place to live. Finally, I'm going to touch base with you on that, how statewide property tax cuts have affected Buffalo's budget and your city services. I've been talking to a lot of city and county leaders regarding this. How is it over in Buffalo?
Well, we did get a haircut with that 25% property tax cut. It dropped us $175,000, which takes us back to fiscal year 21 levels, and just another $50,000 will cut us to what we were getting 10 years ago in 17. So to me, I feel like we're as low as we can go. We're back to maybe a normal range, but there is the People's Initiative that, you know, that ballot question will be on the ballot to cut it again. The thing right now that's saving us, that we're not seeing a disruption in service, is that we have some good sales tax going on right now, which is really linked to the mining industry. It's not the $50 sweatshirts, you know, that you're buying. It's the big mining industry that's bringing in that sales tax that's saving us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that I have no control over, of, you know, how to promote that, whatever. That's in our energy industry. So right now I feel we're holding our own. I would know that we will see disruption in some services, like less street sweeping, less snow plowing, snow removal, some of that, when we're cut further.
One thing that living here in Wyoming, especially in the southern sections of the state, I've seen communities really depend on an industry just to watch that industry button up and leave town. And it always breaks my heart. I hope something better comes along, or something, you know, more sustainable. Not that I don't support the mining industry, because I really, really do. I got a lot of friends who work in it. But what I am saying is the boom and bust is what I've seen really take its toll on some communities. So we'll have to see what the future holds. But Julie, I want to thank you so much for calling in this morning and speaking with us. It is always a pleasure speaking with you, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and we'll talk again soon.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Now, before I let you go, folks, I just want to make a real quick announcement. It's kind of a last-minute thing. Wild Poets National Poetry Day Celebration, there's an open mic poetry reading. It's free. It's open to the public. It's going to be happening at 11 a.m. It's going to go to 1 p.m., and this is going to be down at your Fulmer Public Library at the Inner Circle. So if you got a poem and you've been waiting to share that with folks, head on down there, get with Cassie Stone. She'll hook you up. And, you know, poetry is one of those things you don't think about until your heart is broken or you're falling in love for the first time. And then poetry has all meaning. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty, inviting you to take a look at this beautifully maintained four-bedroom, two-bath home featuring AC, a newer roof, and hot water heater. The inviting kitchen offers an island, abundant storage, and a walk-in pantry. A convenient main-level laundry allows for easy single-level living. Ideally situated at 1430 Omar near Mavrakis Pond and the walking path. List price is just $385. To take a look at this property, contact me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964.
Hi, I'm Taylor, front of house manager at Fraggletons. You know, every day on Main Street brings new faces and familiar friends through our doors, and each one deserves something special. At Fraggletons, it's not just about the food, it's about the feeling. Our team is here to make sure every bite, every sip, and every moment feels just right. Whether you're celebrating a big day or just enjoying the little things, we'd love to be a part of it. It's not just about the food, it's about the feeling. Book your table now at Fraggletons.com.
If you're hunting in bear country this fall, some reminders. Keep attractants in camp inaccessible to bears. Bears who find food rewards often come back. Bears are packing on fat for hibernation, so keep a lookout for signs of bear, tracks, scat, digging. Think about hunting with a partner and pack out your harvest as soon as possible. If you have to leave it, try to hang it up or be able to see it from a distance. And remember bear spray. It's effective, so keep it handy and know how to use it. Sponsored by the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Let's talk about tires. Think about the snowy, icy roads ahead, and now think about your current worn tires. How safe does that make you feel? Well, lucky for you, Midas Tire and Auto has big savings on tires this month. Buy three tires, get one half off, plus consumer rebates from popular brands like Bridgestone, Cooper, and Michelin. Additional rebates up to $200 on select Cooper and Toyo tires. You'll also get peace of mind knowing your tires are back with the Midas Lifetime Guarantee. Getting and keeping you safely on the road. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Hi, this is Brad at Primate Motors, and let me tell you, partnering with Sheridan Media and the Country Bounty has delivered proven results time and time again. Our Sheridan Media guide keeps our message fresh, and his reliable customer service means we're never left hanging. If you're looking to move inventory or grow your brand, I say saddle up with the best, Sheridan Media Radio and the Country Bounty. The proof's in the pavement, and that's the results you can haul to the bank.
I'm your digital pro, Kim Komando, inviting you to join me every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for the Kim Komando Show, brought to you by Range on 103.9 FM and 930 AM.